Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Rad Dad Woke Dad. Today I talk with Ian. Ian's career has really taken off in the past couple of years at the same time that he and his wife are expanding their family. We talk about how to balance a career growth with a growing family, how he got his employer to consider parents as a group that should be included in diversity conversations, and even touch on his favorite board game. I loved talking to Ian because he was really candid about the challenges of being ambitious in your career and being ambitious as a dad. Enjoy the show. And welcome to another episode of the Rad Dad Woke Dad podcast. With me today is Ian. Ian, thanks for joining.
Hey, Aaron. Yeah, thanks for having me.
So why don't you tell us a little about your family, yourself, and what is it that you do?
Sure, yeah. So I have a wife and two daughters. Been with my wife since high school, so we're coming up on 20 years together, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I'm 37, so
that's awesome.
Yeah. And my eldest daughter is just turned 3 in November.
Okay.
And my youngest daughter is pretty fresh. She's like 6 months old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
That's great.
I'm in the shit right now, basically. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. But, at Shopify, I sort of helped launch the regulated industries team,
yeah.
Which deals with various regulated industries. Right now we're pretty focused on the cannabis space in Canada.
Yeah.
Since its inception, I've worn a lot of different hats, but recently I've started to zero in more on agency and tech partnerships. Shopify proper has so much of our success is based on our third-party solutions,
yeah.
And agencies. There's some unique challenges that are presented by this regulated space that preclude a lot of our standard solutions and agencies from being involved, and so I have to kind of shepherd and educate our existing ecosystems to adapt to this space. Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
really awesome to hear. Working at the forefront of bringing new technology to old businesses and industries.
Totally.
So you mentioned, yeah, you've got the two kids. When you reflect on, say, the first 6 months with number one, first 6 months with number two, what's been different about those 2 6-month chunks?
Yeah, I mean, pretty standard response probably here in that the first time around, everything is fresh and new, and you freak out about the smallest little things. You freak out when they have a fever and when they are coughing too much, and you're super hyper attentive because that's your main focus.
Yeah.
With the second time around, you're a little more battle worn and wise, I guess, and you learn to take things in stride a little bit better, I think. And not freak out at the slightest things because you've already been through it the first time. I say to a lot of people, you have a lot of the muscle memory as well, mm-hmm. And all the stuff because you had all this stuff from the first time around. But you have so much less time and energy. Also, since my career has taken off quite a bit more and demands a lot more of me now.
Yeah.
So that's different. And then also even the children are different. My first daughter was a preemie. She was 5 weeks early, and so she was very, very tiny.
Yeah.
Whereas my second daughter is a tank. She's just a little beefcake. So because of that, inherently, they're very different from that front.
So you mentioned your career's really taken off since number one. How do you try and achieve the balance of still having that acceleration in your career, but at the same time, being that heavily involved dad and husband and family man that you want to be?
I'm not going to lie. It is super, super hard.
Yeah.
you know, it's a bit of a, it's a choice, right? Like you have to, I don't think you can be like this unicorn at work, this like, you know, constant achiever.
Yeah.
And be a super attentive parent. I think those are, it's super hard to do. I think a lot of people will, you know, if they don't have the family obligations, they'll work all day, they'll maybe have a light dinner, and then they'll work all night until they go to bed. I can't do that. Like, when I get home, I check in with my family, and I am there. I play with my kids. I do whatever needs to be done around the house that to make sure that my wife and I are splitting some of the household duties. And then bedtime, the whole bedtime and bath time routine, the five B's we call it.
Okay. Tell us about the five B's.
Well, so the five B's are bath time. My daughter couldn't say pajamas originally, so she called them bamas.
Okay,
so
nice,
it was
nice.
Bath time, bamas, books, brush teeth, and then bedtime.
Okay.
So those are the five B's. We still call them five B's, even though my daughter can now say pajamas.
Yeah.
It's a holdover from that. So that takes up a lot of my time. I'm usually like off the dad clock, maybe 9 o'clock if I'm lucky.
Yeah.
And then at that, you know, I'm going to be in bed by 11-ish. So I have 2 hours to maybe do something that is not parenting or work.
Yeah.
And for me, for my own mental health, I need to like decompress. I need to like chill out or like watch Netflix, or I do, I occasionally will paint miniatures. I have a, that's a meditative thing for me.
What, like miniature figurines?
Yeah, so like I have like really little tiny ones, like an inch high, basically. They're very tiny.
Okay.
They're largely for a zombie board game that I quite enjoy.
Nice.
Called Last Night on Earth.
Okay.
Highly recommend it. It's extremely fun.
Is it like a collaborative game or?
Yeah, totally. It's for 2 to 6 players.
Yeah.
But typically I'll just play, you can play one-on-one. One player is the zombies, one player are the survivors, essentially.
Can you play with your kids?
I can't yet. It's way too complex for a three-year-old.
Yeah.
The recommended age is also 12 and up, mainly because of the adult themes in it, because it essentially takes all the common tropes from a zombie film.
Yeah,
and so that can be a bit gory or sexual or like whatever.
Yeah.
So, no. So anyways, back to the question. I find it, I need that time where no one needs anything from me, whether it's a work obligation or a parental obligation, to just like decompress. And so I just have to try to cram as much as I can into my workday and just try to get as much done as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not saying that I never work at night. I will.
Yeah.
I often,
when need be.
When there's like some time crunch or deadline or something that I have to do that's very time sensitive, I will do it, but I really feel it when that happens, when I don't have that time to myself.
Yeah.
So I think
well, I'm sure your family feels it as well.
Absolutely. They do. And my wife will be vocal about it, and my daughter will let me know that she, you know, she starts to act out a little bit. And so, but the way I look at it is that it's a very brief period in time. In when my kids are this young and they need me as much as they do.
Yeah.
Once they're both a little bit older, I imagine they'll entertain themselves a bit and I can they'll want to have a little bit more independence.
Yeah.
But this is a very brief period and I don't want to look back and think that I wasn't present for it.
Yeah. And that's a common theme that's come up in a couple episodes.
Yeah.
Your kids only grow up once.
Yeah.
And you know, when a moment passes by, regardless of how small or insignificant or big, like you're never getting that moment back.
Precisely. And I really, in general, even before I had kids, I really, for my own mental health, I have found that I'm happiest when I do allow myself to live in the moment and to really just like be in moments rather than like thinking about what's happened or what's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
To really just sort of... you know, ride the wave on the cutting edge of infinity.
Yeah.
with, you know, I find that that's good, and that totally applies to parenting too. You really, 90% of parenting is just being there, just showing up and being there. Yeah. They don't really care about anything else. Just being present with your kids and engaging with them is so crucial, I find.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is why it gets, I'm addicted to my phone. And so I have to make a very conscious effort to make sure when I'm with my son, I'm spending time with him. I mean, the quality of that time is probably going to ebb and flow, but making sure that, like, from his perspective, I'm focused on him.
Yeah.
And not focused on my phone.
It is so, so hard to do.
Yeah.
Because, like, I have the benefit of having, I'm one of these, I don't know how old you are, but I'm one of these in between where I had like an analog childhood and adolescence. But now I have this digital adulthood.
Yeah.
But I often wonder for kids who are going to, you know, this is like every generation thinks this, oh, the generation behind me is going to be messed up or something.
Yeah.
But kids who grow up with a phone in their hand from a very early age and with this unfettered access to everything, are they going to be able to pull themselves away? Or maybe it'll be even more of a resistance to it because they, I don't know. That didn't really go anywhere. But
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, like a push back against it because it's pervading their lives too much.
Yeah, they'll see the impact of that on their family or other families in the community or whatnot.
Totally. I think just to sort of put a point on your remark about balancing family and career. I honestly do believe, though, like maybe this is controversial and maybe this is not a good thing to say, but I feel like parents do get less opportunity. I think that whether it's overt or subconscious or you know, unintentional, I think generally speaking, when people are looking at candidates for advancement, I think if they see that somebody is, their attentions are divided versus somebody who's just like a juggernaut who just like, you know, spits out work constantly and is a workaholic and is totally willing to sacrifice everything. They basically just like they work and they go home and they work and then they come back and they work. I mean, as a person in a position to give advancement, like obviously if someone is putting out a lot more work all the time, they're going to be treated more favorably in terms of advancement. And I don't think it's like, oh, I'm gonna deny this parent advancement. It's not like that clear cut. But I think that in general, parents are more tired. They have less time to devote to an organization.
So I mean, how do you think one combats that? How do you think a parent, whether it's a dad or a mom, combats that perception, particularly when they have, career ambitions, and can both parents in a family have those career ambitions, or does one sort of have to, give up to support the other?
I don't have the answer to that. I'm just like trying to do what I can do to make sure I'm a good dad and that my career continues to roll forward. I'm in a position where my wife is on mat leave right now. She's a registered dietitian, so when she goes back to work, when you work in healthcare, in public health anyways, you can actually you can come back at a percentage of what you were previously working, so she can go back at a 0.7, it's called.
Okay.
So she can do essentially 70% of what she was doing before,
right?
Okay. In terms of like her hourly commitment, so she has that benefit, but I mean that harms her career as well because she's less there, and she's seeing less people, she's gaining less experience, and she just has less time to devote on her career development and career opportunities. And I think also she has a secure job, and so she's like, that's a safe thing for her to hold on to and not necessarily get too bold and aggressive and put herself out there because she knows that familial obligations are gonna hold her back. There's actually I had a really good chat with Dave DeOyen, who is the diversity and inclusion officer for Shopify. Mm-hmm. He was talking about marginalized groups. He had a whole chat about it, which is a super important thing that we do at Shopify, and I think a lot of tech companies do. But I asked him, I was like, do you consider parents to be a group that needs special attention potentially? Mm. And he said no, but then he thought about it, and he has since included parents, and they started the parents Slack channel. And there's all kinds of people saying yes, like, you know, the way that the company operates in the following ways are put a major strain on me and my partner, in terms of, like, you know, when they plan activities, they're in the evening, or if, you know, we're doing an offsite and we're expected to be there Monday morning, you know, that means they have to leave Sunday night, and then that's a huge, it's a hard thing. Sunday weekends are sacred when you're, when you're a parent.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I think that, I don't know what the answer is, but I just, it's talking about it is the answer, is to continually have conversations like this, to start podcasts about it.
starting a movement.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, actually, it's more like group therapy.
Sure, it is, yes. It's a talking therapy. It helps. It does help. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So what does being a rad dad mean to you? What does being a woke dad mean to you?
I mean, I just want, I have a huge... I had the benefit of having really attentive and supportive and loving parents throughout my entire life. And so I don't know. I feel like I try to be that. I try to make sure that my kids know who I am and know what I'm about. And I try to pass the teachings that were passed on to me along to them. I think that, we, you know, having two daughters, I really try to focus on, you know, not, falling victim to gender stereotypes, or, you know, we teach our daughters about, personal agency and understanding, that she is the boss, they're the boss of their bodies. There's a whole book called I'm the Boss of My Body. And to understand consent as well, like, if make sure that if you're gonna, like, hug somebody or grab somebody or play with somebody, that you ask them if it's okay to do that first.
And is that something, even right from not quite day one, but from a young age, you've tried to?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, very, very early on. And even, like, if I'm tickling my daughter and she says no, I immediately stop. I'm not.
Okay.
I try to make sure to respect her when she says no. No is a power. We've taught her that no thank you or no is a very powerful word, and that people need to listen to that. I think that's key. And just you know, recognizing that we do live in a somewhat unequal world, and trying to make sure that they're equipped with the tools to recognize that and to fight against it, essentially. Try to teach them that they're strong and that they're, and not, my daughters are objectively so beautiful and so gorgeous, which I try not to focus on that. I try to make sure that I'm telling her that she's strong and she's smart. And those are the things I try to say first.
Yeah.
I still tell them that they're beautiful, but that those things are, come after the first things.
Yeah.
I think those are, and also treating my wife with respect in front of them, and being loving towards her as well, so that they can see what a healthy marriage looks like.
Yeah.
And model after that.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, but it sounds like your own parents, your own father, your own parents, obviously a big influence on you as a parent.
Totally. Yeah. No, and they're heavily involved in my children's lives. They live like an hour away, but they're great. They eat any time that they can get with my kids is like a blessing to them. So they eat it up, I want them to be huge influences in their lives as they continue to grow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, before I let you go, any last thoughts that you want to share with our audience?
I mean, I think we covered a lot of good stuff there.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing I would say is, like, to anyone out there listening who is, like, wondering, should I become a parent? Should I invite this madness into my life, into my already very full and complicated life? It's a personal decision for everybody. But I would, in my opinion, I think caring for someone more than you care for yourself is good for your soul. It's a quintessential part of the human experience, I think.
Right.
So even if it's, even if you can't have kids and you adopt, or even if you just spend time with volunteering for underprivileged children or whatever, being a positive influence in the developing mind's life is extremely enriching. I wouldn't change a thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for your time, Ian.
Cool. Thanks for having me, everyone. Okay.